up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in our producer, Gina. Gina, glad to have you with us this week.
Hi, I'm excited to be on a live show again, get to do my producer stuff live, and get to play a fun game.
Yeah. Next, we've got Kate. Kate, welcome back. And you're muted before you start saying anything.
I'm glad you caught that. It's so good to be back with my tuners. I've missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed you too. Next, we got Pete. Pete, welcome in.
Good evening, Governor.
Okay, that may be worth
it. That was really good.
Yeah. So. And last,
it's a jolly holiday with the tuners.
Okay. Don't scare away the new subscribers already, Kate. And last but certainly not least, we got Steve. Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Hi, tuners.
Hey. Guys, and being live, we've got some people joining us this week. We've got Caitlin with us, a new subscriber and player. Welcome in, Caitlin. And we've got Yolanda. I wonder who she belongs to.
That's my friend.
So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up. And who knows? We may try and do this trivia a little bit more often than we have been lately. Ooh, so, it's been like over a year since we've done trivia.
When was the last trivia? What was the last trivia we did?
To be perfectly honest, I think it may have been Muppet Christmas Carol.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That
sounds right.
Okay. So how trivia is going to work is what we're going to do is if you are watching along with us online, type your answer into the comment box before I tell you guys what the answer is. People on here will either be typing into the box or they will just be holding up a piece of paper with their answers. So there's not going to be, we're not using the crowd purr with it's how fast you answer. It's just some fun. I'll let you guys know there are 15 answers total. Okay. So it's going to be seeing how he's doing. Oh, and Dan's in with us. So
hi, Dan. You're my town.
And the reason we're doing Mary Poppins is today is actually the 60th anniversary of when this movie was released.
Yay.
So
it seems like so much longer than that.
Well, that's because we're old.
It's older than all of us.
It is older than all of us. And we've got Rachel says, hello, everyone. One of her favorite movies. So without any further ado, we are going to start with trivia. And guys, it's going to be kind of a softball for the first one.
Okay, good.
First question is, how many penguin waiters are there?
Ooh.
I don't know if I'm right. Okay, excellent.
I thought you said this was a softball question.
I don't know if I'm right. I don't think I'm right.
Okay, this is not a softball. This is the pitch of the Yankees.
Oh yeah, we're all over the joint here on YouTube.
Steve, you got an answer?
I'm gonna say I don't know. I'm gonna say.
Okay, Pete, you got an answer?
My answer is four.
Four, and the correct answer is four. There are four
in the really great start.
Something I learned. Yeah,
Rachel said that this was her favorite movie, and she said three too. So I know I'm in good company.
You're okay.
You are very good company.
Something I learned this weekend is the kazoo that's played when the penguins come out. The kazoo player is Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman. Yeah.
Yay. Hold up your answer, Sherman Brown.
I was going to say your answer would have counted.
And guys, I will say there are a couple really neat mini documentaries, both involving Richard Sherman in Disney Plus along with this. So go if you have time, go watch those, especially the one with him and Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke is really neat. So, okay, Question two. What's the last name of the director of the bank?
My God, you guys, I don't.
Did you watch the movie?
Yes, but I love this movie. And so I just got lost in it. And this is when I said I didn't. Oh, it's right. The director of the bank is who Dick Van Dyke also plays, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But I can't think of his name.
I know.
Don't help me. Dan's no clue.
Yeah.
I'm going with Pete's answer. Sherman.
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Gina says Pennyworth. Ilana says Dars. Kate, you have an answer?
No, because I'm just going to steal one of theirs. I'll just say Dawes.
Yes.
Dawes.
Yes.
Dawes.
Yeah.
Dan and I are zero.
Of the bank. Okay. And as you said, Dick Van Dyke, originally Walt Disney did not want to let Dick Van Dyke play the old man until he went around and he did that, the fake stepping down routine that he did there at the beginning. And yeah. Walt Disney said that, and he said, okay, and you need to change the entrance so he can do that when he comes in.
Oh, cool.
The platform. So, all right. Next question. So far we got Pete's got two, Steve's got one. Yeah.
Although I cheated on mine.
The rest of them are, you know, have
Rachel two. Got it.
Yeah, Rachel
and Ilana have one.
I'll give it to Ilana for two. Yeah, definitely. So, okay. Here we go. Question three. Yeah. As he says, like how he gets the joke and laughs until he dies. Yeah, pretty much.
If you're going to go, that's a way to go.
And I will agree with that. If you are going to go, that would be a great way to go.
Well,
that or freezing to death. But that's
a whole other story. So him dying gets Mr. Banks' job back.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
True. And a promotion, actually. So, okay. Question number three. What's the name of the dog?
Okay, I always get.
I know this one.
Dog from Peter Pan.
Me too. I just thought of the dog from Peter Pan.
I don't know this one.
Okay, if it helps, Peter Pan is Nana.
I know that.
That's the one I know.
I get it mixed up with the one from Peter Pan. Like I think that they're both named Nana, but.
And there are several that, it is said several times.
It is. I know this is wrong, but there's my guess. Okay.
Yeah. We got a Kevin, we got an Andrew. Dan says a Nana.
Gina, see, that's what I would say.
Andrew sounds right to me.
Caitlin says Miss Lark. Kate's gonna go with Andrew.
I'm gonna go with Andrew.
And the name of the dog is Andrew.
Yeah. I was gonna say, if it's Nana, I'm gonna throw something.
I thought Nana too, but I knew it was a Nana, but I couldn't think of it, so.
Interesting piece of trivia about the dog. So when the dog whimpers, you have all heard that whimper somewhere else. That whimper was provided by Thurl Ravenscroft.
Nice.
And it's the same whimper that they use for the dog in the key scene in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Fascinating.
The more you know. Star.
Okay, and I don't know if Ilana's cheating because she's tag teaming with Adriana. So I don't know if that's
tag teaming with the daughter. Yeah,
cheating.
Okay, so she gets half credit. So anyway,
they are in a different room though, so they're not talking to me at all.
I'm there with you. Okay, fair enough. Okay, question number four: who does Greenwich take their time from?
No, this one.
Oh,
you know I, there's one question that I was really hoping you were going to ask because I super duper know the answer.
Well,
you haven't asked it yet.
At least I even know who that person. I even at least okay. know who that who is. I don't know the answer, but I know who it is.
Mean.
So there was a spider on the ceiling, and the spider is now gone, and that's unsettling to me because I don't know where the spider went.
Okay,
he's here.
So Dan goes, in other words, you know. I didn't think these were that hard. She says multi-time. Rachel says mean. Ilana says the captain. I'm afraid I'm going to need you to be much more specific than that.
It's the military guy.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Is the captain.
Yeah, she's right. It's the military time.
Cannon?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I have the name when you're ready me to put it up because I know it.
It's not Greenwich Mean Time. Pete, Greenwich takes their time from... Admiral Boom.
I was like the military guy. That was my answer. Who shoots the cannon? Exactly, Lana. That's it.
The world takes the, actually, no, he is not the one. Mr. Binnikoff actually is the one that shoots the cannon.
Okay.
So, okay. So our next question, question number five, is what two times is the cannon fired? And you can get 2 points for if you can get both times that it's fired. So it's fired twice a day, and you see it several times, both times that it is fired during the day.
So oh, this is tricky.
You want the actual time?
I want the actual, the two different actual times that the cannon is fired off. I didn't say these were, I didn't say these were all super easy.
They're not, none of them are easy.
Okay.
I like Dan's answer.
I did too.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. The C time is typically four, so it's not four. So
I know one of mine is right. I'm not sure about the other.
I said 8 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Okay, says 8 and 8. Pete says
I say
8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
I said noon and 9.
Ulana's saying 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. if I can get it to show up. Which, okay, yeah, there it is. Rachel says 8 and 3. Well, most of you get 1 point. It is 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Darn.
So
I got nothing.
All of you at home better be keeping track of your points.
I got 0. Also, that'd be easy.
He fires at the Hottentots, too.
Dan and I are tied.
Why it is now labeled as a TVPG movie instead, because apparently that is like an offensive term back then.
Hottentots?
Yeah, the Hottentots. And I at one point I knew who it was, but I don't remember at all. Okay. And
Dan's question though.
Why does he fire at the Hottentots? That's playing golf right now. Nice. What, Dan, the low score wins? Is that what the idea is?
Yes, we're tied for 0.
And as Yolanda said, it's just exciting to get some of the answers correct. Okay. Our next question is, what was the number of the house address?
I knew you were going to ask this question.
You have to sing the song. You have to sing the song.
Okay. Actually, you know you don't. It's not in the song. It's not in the song.
When she comes down, she says it from, okay.
I know.
Okay, Steve thinks he knows.
I'm going to put the wrong one.
But Lana's put an answer in. Lana said 17.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Dan goes 1833 Cherry Street Lane. The correct answer is, as you can see on the screen on the left, 17 Cherry Street Lane.
Yes. Mine didn't go through. I said 13. It didn't go through. I didn't hit the right button.
Gina, no. are you still 0 for 0?
I'm still 0.
Did you watch the movie?
I got 13. Not recently, no.
You're supposed to watch it before you go on the show.
I know, but I've been busy. I have this thing called work. And
Rachel got it. Planning.
Dan and I are tied. We're good.
guys, in my defense, I wrote all of these questions before I watched it this last time.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a mind like that. As Gina and Pete can agree, say, I have so much trivia floating around in my brain.
He does. This is true.
Too bad. I will say many of these questions would be very hard had you not just watched the movie. I would agree. Yeah.
All of these questions are hard, even if you had just watched the movie.
if you're not looking for like details for sure, because I don't. Yeah.
Which I was not. Because I like this movie and I just wanted to enjoy it.
As long as it's the pressure. Yeah. Okay, question 7. How long did the man want the long underwear? How long was the long underwear?
How long did the man want the long underwear? Oh,
thank you. Yeah, it's in the Uncle Albert scene.
No, I know where it is, but I can't think of the answer.
If it helps, it's like the last joke that actually gets told. That's good, that doesn't make them cry.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't remember it.
Kate, any guess?
No, because I think my guess is stupid. So no.
Okay, I'll go.
Dan's guessing 80 years. Steve's saying all winter. Steve, I need you to be more specific.
I said 8 feet long.
Rachel said no idea. Dan says 80 years. Rachel says all winter. The idea behind, yeah, Pete, I see your Sherman Brothers. The idea behind it is all winter, but, well, how long do you want it? Well, probably from September to March.
Oh, okay.
At least I was on the right path.
Yeah, you are.
I was not.
Yeah.
Dean is my favorite one.
That's from, you know what that's from? That's from a Miracle on 34th Street. It was like, a little bit longer than my beard and older than my teeth or whatever. Something says.
It's a all great right. movie.
Question eight, and this one is part of a song. What year is this set in? Think Mr. Banks's song. I will give you that clue. The one at the beginning.
Somehow I remember this one, so I know it.
And women's votes, women's suffrage.
And more specifically, it's in April of this year. And the reason we know this is because...
Cherry Blossoms?
No. King Edward dies in May of this year.
Okay.
So my guess is 1922.
Okay, 22. Steve, you got a guess?
1904.
Pete's going 1910. Gina has a 1910. Yolanda has a 1910. Dan has a 1920. The correct answer is 1910.
Because I knew women's votes.
Men in 1910. King Edward's on the throne. It is the age of men.
You know what's funny is when I was in the sixth grade, I did a whole project on women's suffrage. And apparently I wasn't paying attention then. Because
this is British.
1910 wasn't that big of a year for women's suffrage, to be perfectly honest.
It was British. Yeah,
especially this was British. In Britain.
Oh, right. It was British.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Next. What direction is the wind from at the end of the movie? At the end of the movie.
Well, now you got me questioning myself.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. That's what I live for. Help poor unsuspecting trivia players.
I'm not certain of this one, so I'm going to hold it up now. But I admit I'm not certain.
Okay. Oh, I think I'm wrong.
Steve goes east. Pete says west.
I'm going to stick with my
east.
I'm going to stick with east.
Lana says west.
Dan says south. Rachel says west. Lana says west. The wind is come dead on out of the west. Because it's wind from the east at the beginning. And she'll stick with the
that's
wind.
That's when I got confused. I knew it was east or west.
I knew it was one of those two.
Yeah, same. I can't remember. Dan,
25%. Yeah, if you were accurate 25% of the time as a weatherman, you'd be great.
Hey, that's actually, yeah, that's probably better. That's probably this.
But you would not be Admiral Boom.
No.
Okay.
He is 100% accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is, what color is Bert's horse?
Ooh.
Oh, shoot.
I know Mary's.
Uh-huh.
Darn it.
Isn't his like...
I'm going to do another.
There is a main color of his horse. There's a primary color of his horse. Rachel's going guessing gray.
My guess was gray. I'm sitting between gray and purple.
Steve's going purple.
See, is it purple, though, from the other movie?
He goes purple.
Gray isn't a primary color, though.
Yolanda's saying yellow. Gina, you are about to get kicked out for the...
I had to do that quote because isn't that what it's from?
Dango red.
Gray purple.
The correct answer on this one is... Pete, you should listen to your wife. The Bert's horse is yellow.
Oh, she's smarter than I am. So.
Because the purple horse comes
Mary's horse is purple.
Oh.
I thought Mary's horse was white.
No, Mary's horse is purple.
Yeah, I knew that one.
So,
and that's why I was like, and then that's why I said it's a different color than the purple one.
And one of their kids is orange. One of the kids is orange, I remember. Yeah.
Okay. So this next one is there are three parts to the answer. So I'm just going to listen. No. Okay. Okay. What are the three flavors of medicine?
Oh, dear.
Oh, I know this one.
I only know one.
Well, everyone knows one of them because, you know, it's hers because that's the funny one.
Oh, I can only think of two of them.
I think I have all three.
Okay.
I just like hers.
So
hers. I like hers. That's the only one I know.
Do we get a point for each?
Yes. You get a point for each.
Okay.
I got two.
I got one. The only one
I have strawberry and rum punch.
Strawberry and rum punch.
I thought it was raspberry.
Ripple. Yolanda's guessing watermelon. Steve gets all 3 points. It is lime, strawberry, and rum punch.
That's the best one.
I'm up to 6 points, kids.
Oh, man. I only got two pieces of paper left.
Well, we only got one question left.
All right.
Okay.
Now. That's okay. Yeah, that's Robitussin. Cherry and grape. That's Robitussin. Oh. That was enough.
Yeah, cherry grape. Yeah, no. No. That's it was interesting because I saw something where when she pours out the different colors, the kids didn't know that was going to happen.
Yes.
So that's you see their when the
expression. That's their actual. I love that. That's their actual reaction. That's cute.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. This last question, I will admit, is probably the hardest question, although I'm guessing Tina, Pete, and Steve may have a shot at it, and so may a chunk of our listeners. Kate, I'm guessing not on you on this one.
Okay. I think he just insulted you, Kate.
No, well, the one question I wanted him to ask, he didn't ask, so it's fine.
Well, you can go last. You can have your question be last.
Kate, what was your question you wanted me to ask?
What was the name of the first nanny?
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll go for it. What was the name of the first nanny? Okay, I know it, but yeah. So, what was the name of the first nanny?
You know what? I can't remember because it wasn't McPhee.
Okay. Okay. And it's amazing that she would probably. Lana says, Katie Nana.
Yeah.
Steve, did you have a guess?
I had no idea.
No idea?
No. No.
Katie Nana. No, Katie Nana. Don't leave.
What's the cook's name?
A lot of my friends call me Katie Nana from that.
The cook's name is Cook. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nana.
The last question.
All right, I'm ready.
Which Disney songwriter helped design the nursery scene's stop motion scene? And again, this is one you either know it.
It's probably not there, but or you don't. I got to use it at least once. Oh, I know who I'm going to write.
I don't think this guy was. I'm going to say.
Oh, songwriter. Whoops. Oh,
wow. This is my answer.
I said Frank Oz, but I don't think he was a songwriter.
I said Mary Blair. She's not a songwriter. She's an artist. Oops.
Mary Blair.
Whoopsies. My brain did not read the question.
I don't know if I'm right, but that's my guess.
Roy Crump. Kate, do you have a guess? One.
I said Frank Oz, but Frank I don't Oz think he was a songwriter.
Not Frank Oz.
Not a songwriter.
Saw the name, but doesn't remember it now. The correct answer. Rachel's going Ub Iwerks. It is not Ub. He was animator and did a lot of special effects.
All in the wrong.
Good guess, though, Rachel. Okay. Yeah. Good guess.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys a hint. He wrote songs for two different rides in the park.
Alan Menken.
No. Oh,
I'm right.
Sure, though.
Pete, you got it. So I'm just kind of answer is X Atencio, Xavier Atencio. He wrote, he was primarily a special effects guy, but he wrote Grim Grinning Ghost and A Pirate's Life for Me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The two famous, the best.
So, and he is one of the two that designed the nursery's stop motion. See,
and you all thought I was making a joke by putting an X up.
No, I knew what it was. I knew
I was right, but everybody else thought I was crazy.
So, how'd you do, guys?
I thought you were saying something
else. I got 6 points. Well, are we counting the Katie Nana question?
Sure.
I got two. I got
seven. Dose.
I think Dan wins. He got zero. I got two.
What was the total number of points?
There were 15. 16. 16 with Kate. 16 with Kate. So there were.
I did not meet my trivia goal, which is try to get half the points.
I missed four.
You know, hey, Pete mentioned the Exitensia while you guys watched the movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Pete. That's
so.
Well, he was in the credits. He was in the credits at the beginning as a.
That's right, Dan.
Supervisor. He wasn't listed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Dan's going to be at the Disneyland Hotel tomorrow. So, guys. Jealous. Yeah, me too.
Anytime. So, I'm here.
Yeah, I know, but you know, the whole plane ride and
I know
all that stuff is rough.
Pain in the rear.
Okay.
Can he, okay. Sorry.
Wait, guys. I don't know about you. I thought that was a lot of fun.
That was great.
It was great.
So, okay. Oh, Ilana got 9.
Ooh, good job. Nice job. And Adriana.
I think the women in Pete's household are our winners.
Yeah.
So
they are very wise.
So, guys, now we're going to talk about the movie. But if you guys have comments you want to make in while we're watching the movie, tell us who's right, who's wrong, whatever.
We're watching the
movie. And Gina, you can stick around if you want to, or you can drop back to the back. I really don't care.
I'll comment. I'll read the comments. That's always fun.
Okay, cool. Pete, I'm going to start with you with this one. What about this movie made you felt like you were flying a kite? What was great about this movie?
I'm going to, well, there's so much, but I think we all got to give some credit to nostalgia, right? I think we all saw this movie growing up, and it's, I mean, the great music and everything. And I think it's just a fun movie. And, you know, I'll let other people comment on specifics about it, but like watching it, you know, my parents showed it to me and I showed it to my daughter. And so I think it's hard not to feel nostalgia watching this movie and, you know, having seen many of the scenes over and over, even if you don't watch the whole movie, you know, I think that's the thing that really, really hits you. A lot of the songs and everything like that are such classics. So that's my main thing that made me feel like flying a kite. So Steve, what about you?
For me, it's the songs. Like I went through and like song after song, I remember hearing multiple times growing up. It has probably my favorite Disney song, which is Step in Time, and the entire dance sequence. So loved just seeing that and just amazing how long that would go on. So I'd say, yes, definitely the songs. Yep, Sherman Brothers. But I mean, like Spoonful of Sugar, Chim Chim Marie, Feed the Birds, just Go Fly a Kite, which I remember singing in elementary school. So that was my big thing, just all the music.
Kate, so you can't say we took all of yours. You go next.
Personally, Dick Van Dyke is just his. I mean, we have watched so many movies, especially in that era, with great physical comedians. I just can't see anyone else in that role. Bert is so charming. He's so charming and he's so playful. And he's, not to mention, Dick Van Dyke is just, his dancing is just mind blowing. And the relationship that him and Julie Andrews have, just the chemistry that is so lovable. To me, he has and will always be my favorite thing about this movie. The way that the Jolly Holiday scene is just brilliant, but the way that he can dance so beautifully and then dance with penguins, with animated penguins. And it just, he's so good. Just, he just makes my like little girl heart from watching this movie on VHS growing up. It just makes my heart go a flutter. So Dick Van Dyke steals this whole movie for me.
Does that make it beat like a big brass band, perhaps?
Yes. Yes.
I think Gina knew that one was coming.
I felt it. I just wanted to piggyback on that and just say, I love the entire cast, but Uncle Albert's always my favorite. Oh, no one Uncle Albert's house.
Who was the only guy who was actually allowed to ad lib some of his lines.
I know. It was fabulous.
Stay straight. He actually ad libbed almost all of his lines because he was known as a comedian back then.
Yeah.
And we should point out he was also the Mad Hatter in Alice.
He was.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. For me, it's probably the music. So many of these songs that I don't want to say are burned into your brain, but they are. I mean, it's just, you can't help, even if you don't sing along out loud, which I was watching this with my wife and guys, I can't sing. And these guys all know I can't, and especially Kate knows I really can't sing. unless it's like super low, but that doesn't stop me. So, and especially these songs, it's just one of those where you can't help but sing along.
True.
So, me, apparently, this is actually my wife who's logged in, said, Steve, the step in time is her favorite scene, too. Just actually realized that scene is 11 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
It doesn't feel like it. It's so great. Yeah.
And Rachel says, classic for sure. Musical talents of the Sherman Brothers really shined. Just as memories as a kid and watching it. Yeah, definitely. Now, that being said, Kate,
what? Have we now watched all iterations of this movie? Because we watched...
We have not watched the returns.
But we watched Saving Mr. Banks, and I thought we watched the Lin-Manuel Miranda one.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. Yeah, no, didn't. You also asked me if I was sure we hadn't watched this.
Yeah, I thought we had watched this one too. But
no, we have not watched the Lin-Manuel Miranda one either. No.
Okay.
Now, that being said, there are very few movies that are 100% perfect. What about this made us unable to laugh? And Kate, I'll start with you on this one. What didn't quite work for the movie?
Yeah, this scene always, it troubled. So, okay. I don't know if this scene messes with me because it messes with me or if it messes with me because it's like from my childhood, it always has scared me. The scene with the bankers toward the end when all like it's the men and just, and I can't even put, even watching it this time, I was like, it's really well acted. I don't know why this
one, the one where they're defrocking Mr. Banks or the one where they're going after the money. You're going after the kids.
Both, but the one where they're going after the kids.
Okay.
It just, that scene was always so unsettling to me. Ever since I was little, that was, it always just so, and again, I don't know if it's because it freaked me out when I was little, so it still freaks me out now, but I just couldn't, when they're going after the kids, and I just said that Dick Van Dyke was my favorite part of the movie, right? Except when he's like the mean banker, and then he plays it so creep, like not creepy is not the word I want. I don't know what the word I want is, but he, like, it's so unsettling. And that's always a hard part of the movie for me to watch. So that's other than that, I really, really enjoy this movie. So Pete, what about you?
So I love this movie but I'm going to try to step back from the nostalgia. One, as an adult, there are times where Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent does make me cringe. I mostly can deal with it, but there are moments.
Well, it's been called the worst Cockney accent in the history of cinema.
There you go.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, it's not. As Kate said, he is amazing, and it kind of overcomes the kind of horrible accent, but I find it occasionally takes me out of the movie. It's so bad. And the other thing, quite honestly, the movie's too long. There's parts that could be cut. I feel like especially early in the movie, I think it takes 20, 25 minutes to really get to Mary Poppins. And I feel like that could be shorter. The suffragette stuff seems kind of unnecessary to the rest of the movie. Those would be my only complaints. I wish the movie was maybe 15 minutes shorter. And the other thing I want to point out, and this really isn't a complaint, there really isn't a plot to this movie, particularly until you get to the last like third, when the plot is that there's tuppence. that they're trying to debate where it goes. But again, that's not even a complaint, really. That's just a note. But my two would be what I said. So what about you, Steve?
Pete actually took both of mine. It's a little it's a little too long. And I was thinking like the Uncle Albert scene, which is great and funny, but has nothing to do really with the rest of the storyline. And I also agree with you there. There's a really weak plot. But I guess the actual books are based on just little like individual stories that are tied together. So, I mean, it works, but a little too long, not really a storyline. Still love the movie.
Yeah. For me, if it was not for the wooden leg named Smith Joe, I could have completely cut the Uncle Albert scene. It's just, that section gets long. That's usually the section where I'll get up and go get a snack, to be perfectly honest. Especially the part, her conversation with Andrew doesn't need to take 3 minutes. Yes, we get that she can talk to the dog, but okay, that could have been a 30-second conversation. And also, the part that always bothered me the most was the kids down at the docks when they're running. Especially, honestly, the creepy old woman is weird, but the dog barking at him. Now, these guys know, and Kate really knows this, I'm not a dog person at all. Now, I have a dog, but the big barking dog is just a problem. But Pete and Steve both hit on it. There's not a real plot other than Mr. Banks is a jerk and finally sees the error of his ways. Which, can we talk about how sudden and random all of a sudden his change is? The fact that he looks down and he's in this super traumatic, and all of a sudden he starts just giggling and can't think of anything else. Always was a stretch for me. But yeah, I mean, the movie's too long. And the movie's too long and the plot's weak. Bottom
line. So here's one question that I don't know if always bugged me, but especially watching it this time. Are we supposed to think the Tuppence lady is dead when he walks by the cathedral and she's not there?
No, I think she's just not there at the time.
Okay. Oh, I thought she had passed away. No, I always thought she had died.
Okay. Actually, Pete, I picked up on that this time.
I always thought she had died.
So I just think she's gone somewhere else. I had always thought she'd gone somewhere else. I could be wrong. I'd always thought it was just she went somewhere else, probably back to the old lady's home in Hollywood. But Gina,
you thought that, yeah. And I thought she like aged a little bit and moved to New York City and became the bird lady in Home Alone.
I would have had to be aged to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, magic.
Maybe she was really young, acting really old. Maybe she
had to be the witch in Brave, where she hops back anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, the only thing I want to piggyback on, and Ulana actually says this in her comments, it's Mr. Banks being super dismissive at the beginning. I agree with that. So,
yeah, him being a jerk, and it takes a while for Mrs. Banks to actually stand up for the kids at all. And even then, she doesn't really. Rachel says, Lady Jane Darwell, famous silent movie actress. Was in basically, especially back then, they would have essentially old retired stars could go live in these special nursing homes. And she didn't really want to do it, but Walt sent a special limo for her, basically treated her like a queen for the day she was on the set, because he had always liked her in her older movies. Mm-hmm. So Ed says, hey, peeps, y'all are dogging on Dick Van Dyke. I think there's a Cockney expression, but it's not family friendly. Okay. See, I'm sorry. Kate just got cut off. No, we'll pull Kate back on it.
You're muted, Kate. You're muted.
So, you know.
Just for you, Ed. Just for you.
Okay. Guys, real quick. We've talked about how much we love Dick Van Dyke, but guys, what is your, real quick, let's just go around the horn real quick. What is your favorite Julie Andrews movie?
Sound of Music.
Okay.
Sound of Music.
I wanted to avoid the two obvious ones, which is this and Sound of Music. So I'm going with Victor Victoria.
That's my second.
Okay.
Steve?
I'd say this one, Mary Poppins.
Kate? And Kate's still on mute.
Sorry, Mary Poppins would probably be mine, but since other people have taken it, I would either say, I'm going to say Princess Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, good one.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't sing, though.
She doesn't sing because she had, that was after she lost her ability.
Yeah.
And for me, I got to go with Victor Victoria is a hilarious movie. James Garner, Robert Preston in the last role he ever had. It's
great.
If you have not seen Victor Victoria, Kate, have you seen Victor Victoria?
I don't believe so.
It's fabulous.
Really? As a Broadway? Wow. Okay. Blake, it's a Blake Edwards movie. He did the original Pink Panthers. He did The Great Race. He did so many things. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Ed, she's not in Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, that's...
It's Angela Lansbury.
So...
I would also throw in Thoroughly Modern Millie from like 1970. Yeah, she played Millie in Thoroughly Modern Millie.
I haven't seen that one time.
I thought it was Debbie Reynolds.
In the movie version.
Was she on stage? Maybe she was on stage.
Okay. She was also in the stage version of Camelot.
That's right. Did she play Maid Marian?
No, she was Guinevere.
Oh, that's right. Not Maid Marian. Maid Marian is Robin Hood. I meant Guinevere.
Yeah. Rachel's going Sound of Music. Yolanda's going Sound of Music. Sound of Music is a great movie.
The best.
But yeah, so, okay. As also we always do. Yeah, also a movie that gets way too long. Yes, definitely. Yeah. As we always do, we give Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5. Gina, I'm going to let you start off on this one.
This is a 3.5 for me. A little too long, but love the songs, love the cast.
Okay.
I got to give it a 4.5. I can't quite, it's one of my favorite movies, but I can't quite give it a 5 because it just drags in spots. And so it's not perfection, but great movie, 4.5.
Steve. For me, 4. The music does it, like you said, a little bit too long to move it up into the top tiers.
I'm also going 4. Same reasons.
Yeah, for me, I want to make this only the third movie I've ever given a 5 to, but it's got to be a 4.5 just because it's a little too long. And there are parts of it that there are different parts of it where you can get up and go get a snack if you need to. So,
yeah, the 60s had a problem that they were competing. Movies were competing with television. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of 60s movies that were very long because they thought they had to do that in order to make people want to go to the movies. And
Parent Trap.
Yeah.
So long. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And Ed, you commented, y'all reviewing movies for a certain actor and actress doing Mary Poppins. And we just threw in the favorite Mary Poppins, favorite Julie Andrews movie was there at the end. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yes. I'm not muted, right? No. Okay, good. You're good. Let's see. In the Disney Plus news, number one, the documentary Music by John Williams will premiere on Disney Plus November 1st. Ooh, I'm going to like that.
I can guarantee you we will be watching that one.
Yeah, I'm going to like that.
Because nothing else is coming out in October and November.
Amen. And last but certainly not least, Elton John, Never Too Late, is going to premiere on December 13th. The documentary follows the singer as he looks back on his career in preparation for his alleged last concert.
I think it really will be. It really is going to be his last concert because he's not a young spring chicken.
Not. But hasn't he said that this was his last concert like a bajillion times?
No, I don't think so.
Not Elton John. That's the Eagles.
I went and saw his Goodbye Yellow Brick Road tour, and it was very good.
Yeah. So, and I know Pete is our resident Elton John fan, I think. So,
well, I love music, but I'm a big Elton John fan for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So
what I want to know about the John Williams documentary, are we going to get to hear about the music from Daddy-O?
Ooh,
that was his first movie.
That was his first movie. And I bet we do. I bet we do hear about, like, since this is the earliest one, think about, we heard about, he did Little Shop of Horrors. He did Howard Ashman. We heard about some of his early ones were terrible. So next week, we are jumping back into National Geographic, picking something a little bit shorter this time. It's a documentary called Expedition Everest. No, it is not the ride.
Darn. I was looking forward to riding this week.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the ride. I wish we could all go ride it and compare it to the movie. That's not what this one is. This follows some scientists as they are working on a couple different things as they're climbing the mountain. Only 45 minutes long. I honestly picked up because it was fairly short. It's an old IMAX movie that they put on National Geographic. So something fairly short. Give us a little bit of break from the last long one we had and the one after that that's not short that we're going to be watching. So that can kind of drag a little bit. We're going to be watching Davy Crockett. So that'll be in 2 weeks. But so next week, Expedition Everest. Guys, if you have any suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. No, Kate, I'm not acknowledging Ed's comment on that one.
I saw it, Ed. I saw it.
If you have other suggestions, message us Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We respond to everything. I've had some people respond today. We have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, Steve, and Gina, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.